So we don't come and play church, we want to be church. We don't want to talk about the God who heals. We don't want to talk about the God who delivers, but we want to see it in reality. And this whole series over the last 20 weeks, which this is sermon 21 on this subject, is about this journey in discovering that breakthrough in our lives. So it not only touches our lives, but touches the community around us. Because how many of you know, that God just doesn't love us, but he wants us to take that message to the people that we that surround us, I say people who live with us, but yes, if they're not saved, he wants us to take that message to them as well. But he wants us to be so overflowing with his love that it affects everybody that we meet. As you're delivering the Ocado stuff. Hey man, you're knocking on the door. I've got something more than your groceries, madam. Hallelujah. Okay, and then as you're pulling a drink, I've got something more than a pint for you, sir. Amen. And in your various activities, we've got something more than the ordinary. We have God living inside of us, and it's the authority that he's given us. And one of the things... Oh, I'm getting carried away already. So let's move on to our next slide here. The power station one. Yeah, power station one. Next one. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how he's God in the power station. Jesus in the power station. He's always on. His power is always flowing. Somebody just said to me before the service that they'd been thinking about this and the penny had finally dropped and they realised that Jesus doesn't turn on and off like a power station, but he's always on. And here it is, the light bulb is turned on by the switch, by that faith connection. And Jesus, God, wants to make it so easy for us to receive of him that he has given different ways for us to receive our healing. So we've talked about the laying of our hands, the anointing with oil. Tonight we'll talk about the prayer of agreement. We'll look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, faith in God's words and signs and wonders on other occasions. But God so wants for us to receive his healing that he makes it as easy as possible. He wants us to make that faith connection. So he helps us to make that faith connection in different ways. By the laying on of hands, it makes that faith connection. With the anointing of oil, it makes that faith connection. By the prayer of agreement, somehow we have our faith strengthened, and suddenly, I'm going to say the word bingo, but that's not quite appropriate, is it? But we have the power of God that flows so that we receive the healing into our lives. And one of the things that we need to get into our minds is how God is inherently good. You know, I told you before that I was at this conference earlier on in the week. I'm moving forward. I'm going to otherwise I'm just showing your back all the time. I was at this conference in the week, and he started off, this Simon Foster fellow, by saying we have to understand, before we see any signs, wonders and miracles in our lives, before we see the healing power of God flowing in our lives, we have to come to that understanding that God is good. Because if we don't believe that God is good, we are never going to receive. If we believe that God is treating us according to our behaviour and he's angry with us, we're not going to receive. I was on the phone to somebody earlier on in the week and I said, oh, be blessed. You know, as you know, I talk to people like that when they're on the phone, and he says, well, he says, if I've been good enough, I would be blessed, but it's not about being good enough. It's about Jesus and his goodness. And because he loves you so much, he has given himself to you, and he wants his goodness to overflow in your life. So if we think that God is not good, then we're in problem. We're in trouble. Because if we think that God wants us to be sick, we'll never pray for us to be healing. If we think that the only way we can become more like Jesus is for us to have cancer and have tragedy in our lives, we will not ask God to intervene in his goodness. And so many people attribute bad things to God. So we lose sight of his goodness. And it becomes difficult for us to be willing to receive. So, you know, another example of this week. You know, this is this terrible tragedy in Florida this week when this young lad got a gun and shot 17 people at the school gate or within the school grounds. And terrible. And people will be saying, oh, well, I can't believe in a God who would allow such things to happen. You know, why doesn't God come and do something about it? Well, I tell you, he has. He sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All we've got to do is turn to him. And then all our evil is sorted out. Then all our sin is sorted out. So, you know, we have to get back to that place where we recognize that God is good. We sing and shout it. God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. It needs to be more than a song that we sing. It needs to be something that we understand. And sometimes there is tragedy that happens in our minds and we start to question whether God is good or not. Sometimes there's a death in the family. Sometimes you may have lost a child as a young mother or some other thing in your life that broke your heart and you started to question whether God was really a good God. We need to settle it in our hearts that God is a good God. That he's not out to punish you because the punishment was taken by Jesus on the cross for you. Amen. So that's our starting point to be able to receive from him. Bottom line, God is good and he will do everything to make it easy for us to receive his goodness. So that's what we're talking about. Tonight we're looking at the prayer of agreement. And how that can help us to receive from God. And so here's the scripture from Matthew 18, 19 to 20. It says, again, I truly say to you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by Father in heaven. For where two or three of them gather in my name, there I am with them. And I like the way that the message puts it. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father goes into action. Hallelujah. And do you know, I said this last week or the week before. I'm sorry, all these messages merge into one for me. But perhaps you think I repeat myself and you said that last week as well. But anyway, never mind. But did you know that God is so eager to give you good things? So eager to provide, so eager to heal, so eager to deliver, so eager to sort out that whatever it is, that challenge or that mess in your life. He is so eager to do that, that he's sitting on the edge of his seat waiting for that switch to be switched, for that faith connection. And he is more eager than we are to receive. Hallelujah. When two or three get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father goes into action. So this is one of those ways. This is one of these prayers that can be prayed where God's sitting on his seat. You start praying and the power starts flowing. Amen. So there's this scripture. Here it is. Now the key word is agree. If I was a Greek scholar, I would be able to pronounce the actual Greek word, but it is the Greek word from which we get our English word symphony from. So that gives you an idea of what it is, because it's music playing in harmony. Colloquially, we might say that we were all singing from the same hymn sheet. This all helps to build our idea of what agreement is, to be in unison, not the trade union, to be in one accord, to regard something as settled. We have come to an agreement and reached a settled position, to stand as one, to champion the same vision, to be in line, to fall in line of footprints, following the same pattern, to be in rhythm, for our hearts are beating together. These two are getting married shortly, aren't they? You know, they're in love. You know, and everything they do, you should hope so as well. They're in love, and you know, and everything they do together. Hallelujah. And everything they do, they just, it's so in harmony because, you know, their hearts are beating with one another's hearts, beating in rhythm. Ah, yeah. But but that's what it means to be in unity. It means to be in agreement. And I quite like that little phrase, that little maxim that we have now, where we talk about our hearts beating in rhythm with God. We're in agreement. We're in unison. Now, agreement is quite a powerful thing. It's a universal principle, the power of agreement, not just church ones. So if we think about political parties, if political parties are in agreement, then they are much more successful than political parties that are in disagreement. So if we, not making a political statement at the moment, but if we look at the Tory party at the minute, all at one another's throats about Brexit and the consequences of that, they are a divided party. And actually, to get elected as a divided party is very, very difficult. The opposition has to be pretty bad. In football, there is a principle of unity as well. If the centre forward is not taking any notice of any of the whatever the other players are, I don't even know what the positions are. Give me a few positions, Chris. The left hand side people, the goalkeeper, and whatever. The right hand side people, the midfielders. If they're not playing as a team, they're going to lose. A kingdom divided against itself can't stand, says Mark 3:25. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out two by two. There is a principle here of agreement. And there's also a principle of agreement that is quite a negative one. So Genesis 11:1-6, come let us build ourselves a city so that we can make a name for ourselves. The Lord said, if anyone... people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So again, God was recognizing that there was power in agreement. If they agreed about something, who knows what they were going to do next. Now that's another sermon in itself in the Tower of Babel. But I want you to see that not only is agreement, can the power of agreement be positive, but the power of agreement can be negative. Because we can sow good things and reap a good harvest, so we can sow bad things and reap a bad harvest. Might say a little bit more about that if I've got time at the end. So notice the power of agreement. It is a universal principle. So let's look a little bit carefully at our scripture about what we have got to be in agreement with. I think that the first thing that we've got to be in agreement with is God's plans. So when we pray, what are we agreeing with? We're agreeing with God's plans. Not our own agenda, not our own pie-in-the-sky idea that we would like a Rolls Royce. I'm going to get together with Rebecca and we're going to agree that tomorrow morning I'm going to get a blue Rolls Royce or whatever. And I agree that I'm going to get enough money through the whatever means to go on a nice sunny holiday to Australia and go for a month and come back with a nice suntan, whatever. It has to be in agreement with God's plan, not our own agenda or our own plans or our own fancy ideas. It has to be in line with God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. So there are some principles here that we can find in the scripture, that we can find in God's word, that we can agree with. So 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that he wants everybody to be saved. So we know in principle that God's word says that he wants people to be saved. So we can agree with God. We can agree that God wants to heal. We can agree that God wants to provide. We can agree that God wants to bring us joy. We can agree that God is love. We can agree that God wants to bring us peace and joy. Have I said some of those already? He wants joy to abound, peace to abound. And we know that God wants to bless us and that we're inheritors of the blessing of Abraham because Jesus has reversed the curse of, as it says in Galatians 3:13. So we agree with God's word. So when we come to pray, and then we come to pray in agreement, our prayer is in agreement with the word of God. Not our own agenda, not our own idea, not our own plans, but with God's agenda, God's word. This is the confidence that we have, says this next scripture. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him. So we need to be in agreement with God's word. When we're in agreement with God's word, we have confidence. We need to be in agreement with God's promises. God promises and pledges to do certain things as declared in his word, and he cannot fail in his promises. Slight variation of an illustration that I gave the other week, but did I ever tell you that I used to work for Sainsbury's? I used to They knew that I was a church goer, and they were always looking for things where they could pick fault with me or trip me up or, Ian Sharp did this, Ian Sharp did that. Anyway, so one morning round the bacon sandwiches at the canteen and the morning tea break, I said, I did go on church yesterday. They were saying, you know, hoping that I was going to say something that was going to make me look an idiot. I said, yeah, I said, funnier thing. I said, I learned something. Yes, there's one thing that my God can't do. So they all sat on the edge of their chairs thinking, oh, hey, the penny's dropped. Ian's not stupid after all. He doesn't really believe in that silly stuff about Jesus anymore. I said, yes, there's one thing that God can't do. And I says, what's that? He says, fail to keep his promises. God can't fail. God can't go against his word. God can't go against his promises. And there is a promise for everything that you need. So one of the other things that we do is we're in agreement with his promises. So when we come to pray, not only are we agreeing with God's word, but we're in line with his promises. I've not counted the promises that there are in God's word. I think I did something the other day which mentioned that there were 7,634. Don't quote me on that exact number, but it's a lot. I can imagine that there's a promise for every need represented here this evening. Amen. And you might say, well, I don't know what the promise is that I'm going to stand on and everything. Because one of the things that when we pray in agreement, we're standing on a promise of God's word. So, you know, it's quite simple. You just get your phone out and ask Google. You know, it's simple. Most people have... even Elaine's on the internet now, aren't you? Yeah. Everybody's on the internet. Okay, Google. Give me a promise regarding God's protection from the Bible. It's coming. 30 best Bible verses about protection. Oh, yeah, we'll have that. Yeah, so... See, it's quick. See, we don't know that we're born nowadays. In the old days, we used to get had to get a concordance out. What's a concordance? And people ask me. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful and will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Hallelujah. Is that a word for somebody tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read the 33 that there are there, but I'm just showing you there how simple it is to get a promise from God's word that is relevant for your situation. Give me a promise regarding God's healing. Give me a promise regarding God's provision. Give me a promise regarding salvation. Give me a promise about forgiveness. Give me a promise about joy. Give me a promise about love. And the list can go on and on. And Google is, I know that people complain about the internet and all the rubbish stuff that we get from it, but let's exploit it for the good things that it can give us. Oh, he who has promised is faithful, Hebrews 10:23. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. We look at the promises of God, they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We say amen along with Jesus. When we pray the promises of God, Jesus is saying amen. Hallelujah. He's agreeing with your prayer. Because it's in line with what he wants. We need to be in agreement with God's Holy Spirit. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and Galatia, they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. They tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, what do we mean by we need to be in witness with the Holy Spirit? We need to know that witness within our spirits. But what we are praying is right. So if somebody came to me and they say Rebecca came to me and she says, I'm thinking that I'm going to go and work at Sainsbury's. And I've heard you talk about Sainsbury's so much that I thought that I'd like to go and work for them as well. So will you agree with me in prayer that when I go for a job tomorrow that I'll get the job? And I said, well, thank you very much, Rebecca, but that doesn't quite witness in my spirit. And sometimes there will be things that perhaps are not clearly defined in the scripture, in God's word. And we're going to pray for this. And will you agree with me about this? And we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Should I be going there? Should I be going here? Lord, I need to know your Holy Spirit, just confirming it in my spirit what I should be doing. And then when the Holy Spirit confirms it, we can agree with the Holy Spirit and we can pray it into action. So we need to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in agreement with the people you are. We need to be in agreement with our own heart. James 1:7-9 says, when you ask, you must believe, not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being tossed by the wind. The person should not expect anything from the Lord. So I might say, well, will you stand in me? I might say to Sammy and I might say to David, I want you to stand with me and agree with me in prayer for the salvation of Joe Bloggs down the road. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not so sure that I want Joe Bloggs saved, but I'm only praying this because I know that I should, but this fella's rotten. I don't really like him, and he's so bad that I don't really ever think that he'll ever get saved anyway, and I'm not so sure that if he did get saved, I want him sitting next to me in church. So whatever we pray, we've got to be in agreement with ourselves. No point trying to pray something you don't agree with yourself. So we need to be in agreement with our own heart. We need to be in agreement with the people that you are praying with. Now this is where it comes down to sort of saying, well, I want people to agree with me for something, but say if I wanted to say, well, I want two people to agree with me for my healing. I've got a pain certain place in my body, and I just want two people to come and agree with me to pray. And I picked Sammy and David, and David says, well, I'm not so sure that God heals today. It all ended in the Old Testament. It all ended in the New Testament when all the apostles died out, and all the miracles that we see today really aren't miracles. They're all made up by people, and all these people who say they've been healed, they're just disillusioned with themselves, and it's not really real. You know, well, thank you very much, but I'm going to pick somebody else to pray with me. Because they're not in agreement. So the people that you agree with, the people that you are praying with, have to agree what you're agreeing for or asking for. So agreement with the people that you're praying with. And then agreement with God's greatness I've got. Now, him who is able to abundantly do above all we ask, according to the power of God. Start again. Now the him who is able to do abundantly above all we ask, according to the power that works within us. We're just agreeing that yes, the situation that we see before us is huge. Let's say that again. Huge. The situation that we have before us is big. But our God is bigger. Our God is greater. Our God is higher. Da, 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 da. I've got the words wrong, but you know what I'm saying? That our God is an awesome God. Did we sing that tonight? We sang that this morning, didn't we? Our God is an awesome God. Yes. There's nothing too difficult for him. There's nothing too... He is the mighty powerful. He's the one who flung the stars into space, who spoke the word. And the universe came into being. He's the one who speaks the word into our most difficult situations. So we agree with God's greatness. We agree that with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. So what are the results that we see from the prayer of agreement? We see encouragement. Oh, Joshua, I need you just for a minute for a visual illustration. Stand in that corner for one moment, put your hands up like that. Oh yeah, that's it. Stand there for a minute. Encouragement. If one man falls down, his friend can lift him up. But pity the man, not pit the man, pity the man who has no one to lift him up. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. When you are around other people who believe, you're lifted from your doubts. Their enthusiasm becomes your enthusiasm. Their faith becomes your faith. That is why, as an aside, we should choose our friends carefully. So, when we're coming together with people who have like mind, who are of an encouragement towards us, and who are like minded but encouragement towards us, we might say, I want to pray for the salvation of Joe Bloggs, but I'm not sure. And then Rebecca and Nathan come along and they say, let's pray for Joe Bloggs, that he might get saved. Well, what does that do? It stirs my faith, doesn't it? It encourages my faith. And I might be at the bottom of a hole, I might be at the bottom of a pit and thinking so low and thinking, dearie me, this is a hopeless situation. And then again, somebody else comes along, Chris and Caroline come along and they say, God is good. Nothing's too difficult for him. Praise the Lord. And you know, that faith is infectious and it lifts you, doesn't it? I'm going to need some more water. Thank you. Do you want to fill this one up? Thank you, Lord. So when we come together in agreement, it's an encouragement to us. But then, this is very similar. Strength, a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. So when you've got a oh, that's nice and refreshing. So when you've got a problem. So on your own, you might feel weak. You know, if I had a single thread here, a single cotton thread, I would just wrap it around my wrists and go, snap it quite easily. But if I had three threads that I wound together around, it would be that much more difficult to break. So strength comes from agreement. And when we are weak, other people coming alongside us can strengthen us. And the illustration that Joshua is so gladly illustrating is that of Moses when he stood at the top of the hill when the Amalekites and the Israelites were fighting battle below. And there he was at the top of the hill praying. Can anybody remember what happened? There he was praying, and when he was praying like that, Moses, make a good Moses, Joshua. When he was praying like that, can anybody remember who was winning the war? On the Israelites. And the Amalekites were
losing.
Alright, okay. But then when he got tired and put his hands down like that, who started to win?
The Amalekites.
Now, that story is told for us to illustrate a number of things. The Israelites would be comparable to us. The Amalekites would be the enemy. And when we get tired, the enemy can start to gain ground. So when you've got other people alongside you agreeing with you in prayer, it helps you to raise your hands up. So, yeah, you can. Yeah, you're for it tonight, you two, aren't you? So come on then. So you are the people that are agreeing in prayer. Here's Joshua. He's been praying, but he's so weak now that he can't even hold his hands up. But what do? You come and hold his hands up for him. Yay. And you keep your hands up as well. So see how long you can keep that for. But do you see what the point is? You see, because... okay, thank you very much. Give him a clap. Here's a question for you. It's a serious question. How many of you feel like Joshua tonight? How many of you are battling with challenges in your life? And you're battling through and you're saying, oh, there's no hope. I don't know how long I can keep on keeping on. I know, it's difficult. Keeping on, keeping on. My faith is wavering. Well, tonight, before you go, let's get the encouragement. Get the encouragement of somebody else who can lift up your hands and stand with you and support you and join together with you so that together you are strong and see victory over the enemy. There's protection. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Ecclesiastes 4:12. It brings a multiplication of power. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. Now, whenever you read the books about, or read the commentaries about the results of agreement, and it brings the multiplication of power, they get very complicated, these theologians, and they use words that are more in modern usage today. They use the word synergy. And you might think it's the name of an electric company, but it's not. It describes the fact that the power of two things combined is greater than the power of the two things separately. I don't know whether I've explained it very well, but think of it like this. 500 men can walk across a bridge, and they can be walking across the bridge, but when they decide to jump together, you've got it. The bridge can collapse. Because there is power in unity. It's those who've got physics can explain to you, understand physics, will explain to you afterwards. Yeah. But I want you to see that there is a multiplication of power, so that when three pray together, it's actually more than the three individual prayers. It can be explained as well like this, that when you have an orchestra, you have the individual instruments that play their tune, and you could one by one play, have it, all the instruments play their tune, and you say, well, that's nice, and then another instrument play its tune, and that's nice. But then when they play all together, it is a symphony. It is an agreement that sounds beautiful and sounds powerful and is powerful. It brings multiplication power. And then it gets what we ask for. It will be done for you. Not maybe do, it will be done for you. And then lastly, F. God is here. And again, I'll tell you, if two or three of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. And you might say to yourself, well, that's that nice little verse that we always quote. Oh, Lord, here we are at the prayer meeting. There's only two of us here tonight. But, Lord, your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there, and we thank you that you're here. Yes, it does mean that, I guess. But I like going back to that word, that the way that the message put it, and I explained it earlier on, is that where two or three agree about anything, God is there waiting to answer. He's there in the midst, sitting on the edge of his chair, saying, yeah. The faith connection is made. The power flows. And the prayer is answered. Hallelujah. Amen. And, in context, when it's talking about, again, I tell you, if any two of you on earth agree about anything in your, if you ask for, it will be done for you by your Father in heaven. The context is in regard to binding and loosing. So verse 18 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I just came to my mind. It may be something for somebody, it might not be for anybody. If it's not, we'll sing a song and we'll go home. But I think that there is power in agreement. There is positive power in the agreement, in agreeing with God. But you remember what I said earlier on, that there is a negative power in agreeing with the enemy. in agreement with that which is contrary to God's word. When I was at this conference earlier on in the week, Simon was telling an experience about how when he was the pastor at the Bristol church, there was a very attractive young teenager in the congregation who was bright and full of it, and one Sunday she turned up and she wasn't as bright and full of it as she usually was, and she looked 10 years older than she actually was. And week by week she saw her getting weaker and weaker, and eventually the mother took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You've got XXX." The name of the disease that he said that she had isn't relevant. And he said, "You've got XXX. It's only going to get worse. And you can expect to be in a wheelchair very shortly, and this XXX is just going to get worse and worse and worse, and you're going to find life more and more difficult, until the day when you won't be able to look after yourself, it'll have to be done by somebody else for you." And at the Sunday meeting, so remember that the pastor had seen her the Sunday before, the next Sunday, she went to the doctor's midweek. Doctor said, "You've got XXX. And on the Sunday, the girl was in the wheelchair. Mother wheeled a daughter into the church in a wheelchair. And he said, "What's ever this?" And the mother said, "Well, the doctor said that she's got XXX and she's going to be in a wheelchair." And within 2 days, she was in a wheelchair. Why? Because she'd agreed with the doctor and agreed with that which was not in God's word. And the pastor tried to pray for this child and said, "Get up out of that wheelchair and be healed in Jesus' name." And the mother says, "You can't do that. The doctor says she's got XXX. So the pastor says, "Blow you, Mum." Well, I don't know what you said, but anyway, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to the word of God. And I just wonder whether tonight somebody would say to me, "Ian, I want you to break the agreement that I have with somebody else who's not the Lord." Because we need to be in agreement with God, not with the enemy. And maybe as I've said this tonight, you thought to yourself, "Well, yeah, every time I come to pray, really what I'm doing is I'm agreeing with what somebody else has said rather than what God has said." So if that's you, what I'll do is I'll make myself available at the end of the meeting and I'll pray with you privately, perhaps with somebody else, Mr. Chris or something, or I don't know, whoever's about. And we'll pray with you privately and I'll loose that in Jesus' name. But I agree, I just want to pray that, you know, things that have been spoken over you that perhaps you've agreed with needs to be broken in Jesus' name, and we need to declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen.